This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 185. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Metropolis gets that shrinking feeling. Betty and Alec get all Christmassy. And what caused the hybrid plague? This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, December 11th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to SF Podcast Network to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Now, Mark, before we start talking about comics,
yes,
the last 2 weeks have been rather light at the comic book store, haven't
they? Yes, they have.
Why is that? Is it because it's December, do you think?
Well, I think it was just coincidence plus the fact that we have been dropping a few titles, so.
Okay.
I think that's definitely impacted it.
All right. Well, it just seemed weird. I didn't have many comics to read.
There weren't a lot. But we did have Action Comics number 4 by Morrison and Morales. So this is continuing the early history of Superman. We're still looking 5 years ago. Clark has hung up the cape because it's just not working out, but he's forced back into doing the superhero thing because Metallo is tearing up the city along with Brainiac's robots.
But they didn't ever call him Metallo, did they?
Well, but essentially who he is.
Yes, but
he's
if
John
we're
Corbin.
Starting over.
Right.
Then you can't say Metallo until they've named him Metallo.
So, John Corbin and Superman are in battle. Luthor, as always, is clearly in league with Brainiac.
And that was to build this suit that Corbin is in, right?
Right.
Okay.
But, of course, Brainiac's taken over the robot suit and sending all these robots through the city. Clark gets an assist from Steel, and this is the first appearance of this character in the new DCU. He's been there as John Henry Irons in this storyline, but this is the first time we're seeing him as the character. And we also get a Steel backup story where he takes out John Corbin, but I have to say it's better than just more sketches, which is what they've been doing to fill out the rest of this issue for a $3.99 cover price.
But it could have easily been incorporated into the main story, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
It was just part of the main story moved to the back.
Right. And it was just, okay, now let's see this part of the story from his point of view.
Yeah.
So part of Metropolis gets shrunk to become one of Brainiac's bottle cities.
Now, has Metropolis ever been a bottle city before?
Yeah, that's definitely happened in the Silver Age at various times. So, in the end, Superman has an idea, and we guess we'll find out the idea a little later, because the next two issues are an interlude. So, this is issue 4. We're not going to see this storyline continue to issue 7. I have to say, this is a great way to kill whatever momentum the story has. Was this planned or not?
I know. I have to raise my eyebrows at this. I wonder if the artists and writers were getting behind, and so they're kicking another team in or something?
That's what I'm assuming here. I don't know for a fact that a different team is doing these other issues, but otherwise, why throw this in now?
And is this interlude, well, I guess we'll have to find out.
Oh, it's more backstory, I believe, and I think we're going to learn more about Krypton. That's the impression I'm getting.
Let's get through the story
right.
First.
Yeah, yeah, and then you can go back and do some backstory. I blame Lost.
Yeah, we can blame Lost for a lot of things.
Right. Now, there's also two interlocking stories. First off is Swamp Thing number 4 by Snyder and Rudy. So Alec and Abby are on the trail of William, who's Abby's brother, who can basically make death bloom. Any dead necrotic cells you have in your body, he can just make them destroy you. So Alec goes into this dream state where he's with the Parliament of Trees, which is a concept in Swamp Thing. So they explain his destiny, which he doesn't really want. And we learn a little bit more about the rot and how the green fights it, and they've been doing so since prehistory. So the Parliament warns Alec about Abby, saying that she will destroy him and he needs to get rid of her. And he refuses to believe them, and they continue their pursuit.
I have to say, I love the panel where he wakes up from this dream he's having of the Parliament of Trees, and you see them sleeping on the ground side by side, and in his sort of side of the half circle is all green and has flowers and blooms, and her side, since she's part of the rot, is all dead, and I love that.
There's little insects and things like that. Yeah, it's very, very impressive. Well, then we have Animal Man number 4 by Lemire and Foreman, and Buddy and Maxine are in The Red, also fighting the rot. And they have the Parliament of Limbs, just like the Parliament of Trees.
Mm-hmm.
So Maxine heals Buddy from his fight with the rot.
Well, but she also is the one that scares off the rot.
Yeah.
And gets them off of Buddy.
Right. Because she has these powers and she's going to be the next avatar, as it were, of
the red. So sort of like the Swamp Thing of the red.
Yeah. So their parliament explained a similar story to what the green was saying, that they've been fighting the rot since prehistory, and again, that each of them have this avatar that is based on a human host. So they tell Buddy that he must protect Maxine at all costs. And then meanwhile, Buddy's family is in danger, and the rot attacks Buddy's son and apparently eats him.
That's what it seems like, but I don't know. I'm hoping that didn't happen, but we'll see.
Right. So the green concept goes back to the pre-Vertigo days of Swamp Thing, basically the run that continued into what became Vertigo. And the red was created during Animal Man's Vertigo run. I didn't remember this. I had to look it up. I thought this was maybe a new concept. But guess who recreated Animal Man for the Vertigo run? That would be Grant Morrison, which is why it's kind of trippy.
Yes.
Both comics are very creepy. I personally won't read them before I go to bed. And they really both should be Vertigo titles. It all goes back to that decision that if the character started in the DCU, they were going to bring him back and keep DC characters out of Vertigo to avoid confusion, I guess. Except for John Constantine.
Well, I have to say, I am still liking both of these titles.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they are creepy. I'm partial towards these Vertigo-type stories.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm wondering if Vertigo is trying to get away from the whole mystical kind of story at the same time as DC is taking these back. Maybe that's it. I did like the one member of Parliament of Limbs in Animal Man.
Right.
That turned back into a cat to help protect Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
And she really likes the idea of having a pet. She really wants to keep him. And she asks him what his name is. And he said, well, his name was Spot, but he changed it to, no, I like Spot. You'll be Spot.
Yeah. I am indeed really enjoying these stories. And it's interesting that they're interlocking these stories together.
And didn't I call that? Like
you did.
Issue 2 or something?
Yeah.
I did.
You did. And so we're expecting those two to fully intersect at some point, and there'll be some sort of crossover, essentially. Sweet Toot number 28 from Vertigo by Lemire and Kint.
Lemire is on our radar today.
He certainly is. So this is the conclusion to the origin tale of where the plague came from in Alaska. And again, this is back in the early years of the 20th century, where this expedition party has gone there and they disappear. And the explorer's brother comes to find him and finds out that the first explorer has gone native. And that he's had a baby with one of the Inuits. So the baby is a hybrid, actually has the antlers. So his brother retreats because the tribe is telling him, get out of here, or we will hurt you. They retreat, but they're found by a search party who has come out to find this second expedition that seems like very recursive here. Eventually,
well, the first the first explorer was going to explore.
Right.
Then this guy was going to rescue him.
Right.
The guys that rescued the guy who was going to rescue them were just from the ship that they had sailed in on. So it's not like a whole new expedition.
True. That's true.
You know, they just wanted to rescue this guy so they could go back to England and get paid.
Yeah. So they return to stop the demons. The explorer's brother has decided that this is all demonic and he has to stop them. And he throws the baby down into the cave and presumably kills him. So they fight off the natives and basically it's a massacre. And they attempt to return to England, but the plague has already affected them and they never make it out of port. But the last thoughts or the last diary entries of this second explorer is, well, at least they're not going to take the plague back to civilization. But he thinks, what if someone comes to find us, comes later? Which is obviously what happened, because now the plague has hit Earth. But we still don't know the cause of the plague. Is it supernatural? Is it somehow genetics related? We just don't know. It's left very much up in the air.
Well, yes, except that I think it was that first European guy going into the forbidden area that the natives thought was the god's resting place.
Right, right. But
obviously picked up some sort of germ there.
Yeah, but it's still not clear whether it's germ related, whether it's related to some sort of supernatural event.
Well, I was sort of on the side of the germs, but...
Well, that would be the logical thing, but they certainly don't leave that in any way clear. I was kind of hoping to get more of an answer out of this whole storyline here.
Perhaps we will get more in the next issue.
Right. Well, and again, it's an ongoing storyline, and they can't give you all the answers now.
Yes, but you're still liking it, right?
Oh, yeah. I definitely like the title. I'm curious to see how long this is going to run. We've talked about whether... there's a known ending for this, and the impression is, yes, that Lemire is going to finish this off at some point, especially because he is doing so much other work right now.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if maybe he would even start really directing it towards a conclusion because of all the other work he has now, or if this is more of his baby, so to speak.
As opposed to the DC characters that he didn't create.
Right.
Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
Okay, go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Sort of.
Is it some sort of year wrap up or something?
Sort of.
Kind of a list?
No. Well, no.
No? Not a... So is it a... Is it some sort of review?
Not really.
Okay. Are there multiple people on the
no.
cover? Is one person on the
yes.
cover? Is this one person an actor?
Yes.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is this man under 30?
Yes.
Under 20?
No.
So somebody in his 20s?
Yes.
Known for a particular role?
Yes. Definitely.
In movies?
Yes.
Okay. And, okay, so... is the movie genre related?
Yes.
Is it superhero related?
No.
Is it supernatural related?
You could vaguely say that.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not. Is it vampire related?
No.
Is it zombie related?
No.
Is it witch related?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So. Is it Harry Potter? Is it Daniel Radcliffe?
It is Daniel Radcliffe. Hey, congratulations. He was the entertainer of the year.
Ah, that's what it was.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was sort of a list issue because it was entertainers of the year.
Right.
But since I haven't actually gotten my Entertainment Weekly yet.
Yeah.
Rolling my eyes.
It's not Entertainment Last Weekly. The problem.
Get me my Entertainment Weekly.
Weekly.
Sorry.
So,
don't mean to complain.
It's okay. So, again, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog and my blog where I'm talking about the Star Trek animated series.
Hey, and you know what?
What?
You've prompted me to watch an episode.
Okay. Wow.
I'm just letting you know.
You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.